Go back to the book of Genesis with me. Go to chapter 37. Genesis 37. Half the book of Genesis, beginning with chapter 25, all the way to the end, is concerning Jacob and his sons. And that's by design. God says, I'm the God of Jacob. Therefore, you sons of Jacob. I'm the Lord, I change not. You sons of Jacob shall not be consumed. Half the Bible, Genesis that is, and the rest of the Bible speaks of the sons of Jacob who named Israel. It's all about God's people. Okay? And, all right, Jacob's son, Jacob and his sons were saved by one son. They would not be alive if it was not for Joseph. Half the story of the sons of Jacob is concerning Joseph. And we read there in chapter 45, this is this sums up the whole story. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, save your lives by great deliverance. And that is why Jesus Christ came into this world. To save the sorry sons of Jacob. And as I've said so many times in these types, I don't want it just to be an interesting type and us to be amazed by the type, but I want us to be amazed with the thought that he did this for me. Chapter 37 begins, Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger in the land. Then all of a sudden, Joseph is spoken of. These are the generations of, look at verse 2. These are the generations of Jacob. This is the story of Jacob. Joseph. This is the story of Jacob. Generations of Jacob. Generation means life. This is Jacob's life. And he begins, Joseph. Jacob's life depended on Joseph. You hear that? You know, Matthew 1 begins the generation of Jesus Christ. And it talks about Abraham. All the way down through it. All those people were saved with a great deliverance by the beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says that Joseph was feeding. He was 17 years old when he first appeared. Our Lord, this is also significant. Such a type of Christ. Our Lord appeared at 12 years old. 12 years old. Remember his mother was distraught. His parents, they were distraught because he wasn't with them. What was he doing? He was in the temple. And they asked him, why have you done this? He said, wished you not? Don't you know that I must be about my father's business? And this is Joseph. He was feeding the flock with his brethren when he was just a boy. What's he doing? Taking care of the flock. Story of David. Christ is called the son of David. David, you know, all the sons of sorry sons of Jesse, they were no good. They all hated David too, like Joseph's brethren. And Samuel came in. God said, I've appointed a king among Jesse's sons. And Samuel came in and said, is this all of them? And Jesse said, no, there's one. Where is he? He's feeding the flock. Oh, he's a shepherd, is he? He's the youngest, is he? Oh, the elder's going to serve the younger. Bring him in. I love what Samuel said. We're not going to sit down until you bring him here. And when they brought him in, they said, this is he. This is the one. You know what Joseph found, though, in his brethren? Look at verse 2 of chapter 37. The end of that says he brought unto his father their evil report. His brethren are no good, weren't they? Evil report. They hated him. Verse 3, Israel loved Joseph more than all his brethren because he was a son of his old age. He made him a coat of many color. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him. Why? Why would they hate an altogether lovely son.
Because they were not like him. They were altogether evil, weren't they? Isn't this a picture of Christ? Oh, it says he was in the world. The world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own. His own received him not. And the worse, they hated him. Our Lord said that. He said, they hated me. Without a cause. Why? He said in one place, John 3, I believe it is. He said, John 15. He said, if I had not come that had no sin, I've exposed their sinfulness. And that's a good thing, isn't it? That's a good thing. So Christ came into the world to save sinners, the worst. And so the father loved Joseph more than all his brethren. Is that okay? It's humanly speaking, it's not. But you know, we are human. If you have a son or a daughter who's obedient and loving and just been a joy to you, you're going to love that child. And then you have a son or a daughter that's rebellious and wayward and causes you nothing but grief. You still love them, but you can't help but love the one that's a joy to you. Well, here's the difference. God commended his love toward us in why we were yet sinners. But Christ in him is no sin. He was with the Father in the beginning. He was the only Son from before the foundation of the world. He was with him daily, his delight, the scripture said. Altogether lovely. When he came, Christ came, the Father hadn't spoken. In fact, he never spoke to everyone out loud, ever. He always spoke to the fathers by the prophets. But when Christ walked this earth, God spoke out loud. This is my beloved Son whom I'm well pleased. He's altogether loving. And here's the unbelievable thing. Is when we saw him, no beauty that we should desire. Now, all those years that you and I were not interested in God and Jesus Christ, we heard the story, we're not interested. It's despising. All we like sheep have gone astray. Yet the Lord laid on him the iniquity of all his people. God so loved the world, a bunch of worthless sons of Adam, that he gave his only begotten Son, whom he loved. I was going to, if we were going to have two services, the first one was going to be on Abraham and Isaac, the beloved son sacrificed. And God kept saying, thine own son, take thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest. And then when it was over, he said, since thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, I'm going to bless you. Oh, my. God's beloved Son. 1 Corinthians 16 says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And that's exactly what's going to happen. You know that? It's exactly what God's going to do. The planet full of people. But God. Why do we love Christ? Why do we care? Why are you here this morning? God. And this whole story is these sons of Jacob, these sorry sons of Jacob, they started out hating Joseph. Boy, when it's all over, they're not going to believe that he had mercy on them. If we get to it. Chapter 37, verse 7. Joseph had a dream, and he said, I have 100 verses of scripture. Let me just sum it all up, okay? Joseph had this dream, and he said, all of you all are going to bow down to me, to his brethren. That made me madder. He told it to the father. What is this dream? His father says, observe this thing.
You know, Christ, the scriptures prophesize of Christ. It says, I've sworn, God said, I've sworn, chapter 45 of Isaiah, that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess. And Philippians 2 said, every knee should bow. Every tongue should confess. The fact of the matter is, every knee will bow. And bless God if you and I are right now bow the knee. And confess with the tongue and confess him before men. God must love us. Our Lord stood before the Pharisees and the scribes and he said, hereafter you're going to see the Son of Man coming in glory. You're going to see the angels of God ascending and descending upon him, Nathan. This is the whole of Scripture. And Isaiah, I believe our Scripture verse for tomorrow morning is going to be Psalm 2, which says, serve the Lord with fear, rejoice with trembling, kiss the Son, lest you be angry, he be angry, and you perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. And it ends by saying, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Oh, how blessed. Like those disciples. Those disciples were just like the sons of Jacob, Joseph's brethren. They had no interest in Jesus Christ, but God sent Christ to find them, to seek and to save them, and find them and call them by his grace and reveal himself to them. Christ revealed himself to every one of those sorry fellows, like Matthew the publican. Simon Peter, whose life was fishing. He didn't care about God. He liked his boats. But God sent Christ to find the likes of them. And he said later on, he said, you didn't choose me, I chose you. He said, oh, blessed are your eyes, they see. Blessed are your ears, they hear. Flesh and blood didn't reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. You love me because God sent me to save you. And then he went on to say, and God loves you because you love me. The Son was sent to his brethren in verse 13 and 14, chapter 37. Look at it. Israel said unto Joseph, do not thy brethren feed the flock in Shechem? And every word is significant. Shechem, the word means shoulder. Shoulder. He said, I'm going to send you to them. And Joseph said, here am I.
Send me.
I'm going to send you to them. And he went down to see about his brethren in Shechem. Word means shoulder.
In other words, the Father put everything on the shoulders of his Son. Go to your brethren, these sorry sons of mine. Jacob knew what they were. And he heard the evil report. But he sent his son anyway, didn't he? Joseph, his well-beloved son. And I didn't touch on that coat, did I? That coat, verse 2, of many colors. A distinguishing coat, multifaceted coat, different pieces that made up this covering that Joseph was arrayed in, this garment, this vesture that the Father arrayed his beloved son in, that nobody else had one like it. It distinguished him from all the other brethren. What's that? Everybody in this room could tell me what that is. That's the righteousness of Christ. That's the beauty, the glory of Christ. Now, Isaiah 63 says, "Who?" And the brethren took that coat in this story. The brethren, when they hated him, they stripped him of that. And they dipped it in the blood of a kid, a goat. And later on they brought it to the Father. Are you with me? Oh my, what a story this is. Our Lord Jesus Christ, he was sold, Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. Why? Because our Lord's worth more. 30. They sold him, they stripped him, though he was sent for their welfare, for their good, because he loved them. They didn't love him. Now he loved them. The Father loved them and sent the Son to see about him.
And they sold him, they stripped him, they slew him. It seemed like they slew him. It sure appeared that he was dead.
But he wasn't, was he? He was alive.
And that's our Lord, whom God sent for these sorry sons of Jacob. Oh, my. Well, they sold him into Egypt. Look at verse, are you with me? Stay with me. This is wonderful. Verse 28 of chapter 37. They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. Why?
Because Hosea 11:1 says, I've called my son out of Egypt. Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph were told by God to take that child, Jesus, and go to Egypt. And they fled. Why? Because he said, I've called my son out of Egypt. Which son? Well, Jacob. Jacob's going to be called out of Egypt. Jacob's going to be saved out of Egypt. He's going to live there. And in the land of Goshen, though, the finery of the land. And yet God is going to come down in Exodus. That's the next message. Come down to deliver them out of Egypt. They're captives to Egypt. And he did this by the son, Joseph, the prophecy. What son has come out of Egypt? Jesus Christ. That's why that was written, Hosea 11:1. So Joseph was sold into Egypt. And chapter 39, now go over that. Chapter 39, I want to get to chapter 45. And I really don't want to. I'm having to. But, we've looked at this before, but I have too. It's just marvelous, people. It's just marvelous. Because it speaks of our marvelous Lord. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Chapter 39, the son is in Egypt, all right? He's brought down, verse 1, Joseph was brought down to Egypt when Jesus Christ came to this place. Oh, condescension. Great condescension. In Psalm 22, the Psalm of the Cross, that's where Christ said, I am a worm. I'm a worm. For him to come down here, made a little lower than the angels. He whom angels worship. Isaiah 8 says he made a little lower than the angels. Why? For the suffering of death. Even the death of the cross. Now we see him like the sons of Joseph. They're going to see him crowned with glory and honor. Because he did this, God gave him a name above every name. Like Pharaoh did to Joseph. Well, he's in Egypt. What's he doing? Verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man. He was a prosperous man. Verse 3, the master saw the Lord was with him. The Lord made all that he did to prosper in Joseph's hand. Whoever knew Joseph prospered. Verse 5, it came to pass from that time that he made him overseer in his house over all that he had. That the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house for Joseph's sake. Do you know why you're blessed? For Christ's sake. 100% for Christ's sake. And you know, Egypt, all the land of Egypt, experienced mercy and grace because Joseph was there. You know why this world still exists? Because Jesus Christ has a people down here. And the rain falls on the unjust as well as the just. And God, his tender mercies are over all his work. Why? For Christ's sake. Because he has a people, an elect, sorry sons of Jacob though they be. Yet Christ, God sent Christ to save his people, and the gospel's still going out. And there's still some of these sorry people going to be saved. And I'm glad. Might be someone we know and love well, God has mercy on. Evidently, he still has some elect because this world's still turning it. It's all for Christ's sake. It's all for Christ's sake. It's Scripture says in prophecy of our Lord in Isaiah 42, he said, "My son, he shall not be discouraged. He shall not fail or be discouraged." Isaiah 53 says, "The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." Joseph was a prosperous man. And everybody that was in and around Joseph prospered for Joseph's sake, because God sent Joseph. And everybody knew Joseph prospered.
And you know, our greatest, our prosperity is not, you know, we all have all the food we can eat and the clothing and have shelter and so forth and so on. But our greatest thing that he has provided for us more than anything is his mercy and his grace and his loving kindness, his gospel. And if we didn't have anything, we'd be most blessed of all people. The unsearchable riches of Christ that God has given us. Oh, blessed are the poor in spirit. They're God's people. Well, he's falsely accused. You know the story of Potiphar's wife. Chapter 39, verse 20. Go down there. Chapter 39, verse 20. He was falsely accused. You know, Joseph, this woman was evil. And Joseph was a man of integrity and honesty. You know, the scriptures, God does not give us one fault of Joseph.
You cannot find one thing wrong with Joseph in the whole story of Joseph. Not one. There's not one fault in Joseph that you can find. I challenge you to do that. Can't do it.
It's like Daniel. You can't find one fault in Daniel. Now, you know Joseph's a sinner. He's Jacob's son. He's born a sinner. In sin did his mother conceive him. Daniel, he's a sinner. Everyone born of Adam is a sinner. But Joseph found grace in the eyes of the Lord. But God did not see fit to name one single fault in Joseph, because he's such a type of Christ. It seems like Joseph is just altogether lovely and a fine man. Why?
Because he represents someone who he is. He represents someone in whom there is no sin, no fault, no blame, one of integrity. Who is this? Why did Jesus Christ come? He's the second Adam from above. He's our righteous representative. He's the Holy One of who? The Holy One of who?
Israel.
He made of the seed of David, Abraham, son of Jacob. Well, son of God. But he took upon this likeness of sinful flesh, yet without sin, because he's the covenant head. He's come. This is the Son in whom there is no sin. And every temptation that he faced, like Joseph was faced with this temptation. A real man tempted in all points, like as we are. Joseph faced this temptation, and he said, I cannot do this to my master. I will not do this. And our Lord faced Satan as a man with real flesh and blood and bones. And he said, I will not sin. I cannot sin. What a picture. Yeah. And he refused her advances. Well, she made false accusations against him, didn't she? She lied on him. What happened? He was thrown in prison. Oh, he was thrown in prison. Where is this? Let me find this. Go quickly to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. You don't have any place to go. Snow is getting deeper. Isaiah 26. This is wonderful. But he was thrown in prison. You know that? Joseph was thrown in prison. You know that. And it says, while he was in prison, the prisoners prospered. Wherever Joseph went, everybody prospered, because he was such a good man, such a fine man. Look at Isaiah 26. Our Lord was taken and put in prison, wasn't it? That's what Isaiah 53 said. Isaiah 26, verse 12 says, Lord, thou wilt ordain... This is not it. That's not what I was looking for. Let's see. Let's see if I can find it. Isaiah 42. I'm sorry. Isaiah 42. Look over there. This is one. Yeah, Isaiah 42. Talks about the servant in Egypt prospering. Isaiah 42. There it is. Look at this. Isaiah 42, verse 6. I have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, give thee for a covenant of the people, for the light of the Gentile. To do what? To open blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and then that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord. That is my name.
He said, I'm going to send him to put him in prison to bring some prisoners out. Now, you know the story. Do you know the story in chapter 40, how that there were two men in prison, a butler and a baker? You know that story? We could stay right there for a while. But both those men had a dream. Now, the baker brought things to Pharaoh that he made. And this is a whole other story. The things that he made. And Joseph prophesied while he was in prison. He said, he's going to take your head off. But then the butler now was the one that brought one thing to the king on the throne. He brought one thing. This is what the butler did all his day. He brought a cup to him. It was red with wine. Where did he get that wine? Well, God made it. He didn't make that wine. Somebody delivered it from him. And Joseph, while he's in prison, said, the king's going to restore you back to your place, and you're going to bring to him this cup again with this red wine in it. And he said, when you do, remember me. You know why we take that table. So many people go through the motions, and God doesn't accept it, but He does in Christ's name. For all those who come in remembrance of Him who brought us out of prison, who brought reconciled us to the Father, who should have cut off our head. You see, that butler was restored back to the favor with peace with Pharaoh, because he brought this cup, and Joseph said, now I did this, you remember me. He reconciled him to the king. Oh my, what a story. Well, he's the one who reveals secrets. He's the one who revealed to the butler and the baker their future. He's the one, Joseph was the one who decided, as it were, their future. It was in his hands. And one, he said, he's going to restore you, and you remember me. Well, I'm there. And then Pharaoh in chapter 41. Chapter 41, look at this. We're getting there. We're getting to chapter 45. Pharaoh had a dream. You know, the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, okay? Pharaoh had a dream. And no one could reveal the dream, the secret, the mystery of Pharaoh. The mind, the heart, what went through the mind, the heart, and what all of this, the purpose of all this, was in the king, the sovereign on the throne. No man could reveal these mysteries except one. Joseph. And you know, Christ is the revealer. Said, no man knoweth the Father but the Son, he to whom the Son will reveal it. Listen to this. Oh, you know these scriptures, don't you? It says, Paul said, I'm a minister of the gospel which God has given to me, to you, to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but is now made manifest to the saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles in Egypt, which is, here it is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Those sorry sons of Jacob, they didn't have a clue, Callie. They didn't have a clue. They're eating and drinking, having a big old time, and sinning against God. They don't care about God. What's happening? Joseph. They lived because of Joseph. Then when they came down to Egypt, you know, they got all this from Joseph and went back and just back and forth and back and forth. They're going to finally realize someday that they owe their life, that their life all this time was in the hands of their brother. And it wasn't because they loved him. Because he loved them. Because he's not like them.
That's right.
Oh. Oh, thank God if we realize something of that. Just something of that. You know, we're no better now than when the day when God called us. You know that? And we're good Christians now. No, we're sorry sons of Jacob. No better. If anything, we're worse because of the sins against such love and such mercy and such grace. Because we go times without giving God's blessed Son a thought. But God. That's why, aren't you glad that our salvation is in the hand of one so wonderful? When Pharaoh said, look at this, down in verse 38. Pharaoh said this when Joseph revealed all the mind of Pharaoh and what they should do and all of that, is taking and storing things and food for 7 years of famine and all that. And Pharaoh said this. This was not so much a question as for everyone to consider. Look at verse 38. Pharaoh said, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Can we find such a one who's going to get us all through this famine? The whole world is going to perish unless we can find one in whom the Spirit of God is and great wisdom is. Is there such a one? Pharaoh knew this. And Pharaoh said, Joseph, he turned to Joseph. For as much as God hath showed thee all this, there's none so discreet and wise as thou art. Now, Pharaoh said, I'm putting you over it all. Putting it all in your hands. And brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ is not just wise, he is wisdom for something. He's the wisdom of God, the power of God. He's the salvation of God. God hath put all things in his hand. You know why the scripture says Christ is all and in all? That's because he is. Because God hath made this same Jesus, whom men have crucified, Lord and King over all. This is why the scripture says, kiss the Son. Serve the Lord with fear. Rejoice with trembling. He put all things into his hand. And Pharaoh made that wonderful decree. He said, if you need anything, if anybody, anywhere needs anything, you're going to have to go to Joseph because I put it all in his hands. And God hath put all things in the hands of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Exalted, seated on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now look at chapter 42. From chapter 42 to the end, it talks about these sons of Jacob. All right? The brethren of Joseph. And they didn't know him. And there's so many places I wanted to show you, and you've seen them before. They didn't know him, but he knew them. And a couple of times he was speaking to them through an interpreter, wasn't it? And they didn't realize he could understand them. Well, Joseph did all that he did in the lives of his brethren. They came to Egypt to get corn, and he accused them of being spies. Remember, they're worse than that. At first, they denied it, didn't they, Kelly? At first, the brethren said, no, we're not spies. We're true men. Oh, really now? Joseph heard that. True men? They're going to have to realize. Joseph's going to make all of his brethren realize. All that he saved, he's going to make them realize. You're not true men at all. You're guilty. undeserving, unworthy. Jacob, I love this in Jacob, what Jacob said. He said, I'm not worthy of the least of all thy mercies and all the truth that you've shown me. You know, God keeps telling his people the truth about what? About us. If he doesn't, if he doesn't show us that, we won't need Christ. We wouldn't come here. We wouldn't sit here. We wouldn't hear this same old gospel over and over again about Christ, the Savior of sinners. We wouldn't need it. But God. It's the great mercy of God. It's the leadership of the Spirit of God. If any man be not led of the Spirit, he's none of his. And what the Spirit does all the time, all the days of our life, is convince us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Where's all that? It's in Jesus Christ. Oh, how blessed we are. And these sorry sons, we're true men. We hadn't done anything wrong. Oh, really? And then when it's all over, here's what they finally. And he brought them into dire straits. And down in verse 21 of chapter 42, look at this. Chapter 42, verse 21. And interesting, that's Isaiah 42. The servants bringing these prisoners out. And they were being held captive by him, Joseph. And they finally concluded. Here's what they're all of them, every one of them confessed. Look at it, verse 21. We're guilty concerning our brother. Who? Joseph. They all conclude, we know why this is happening to us now. Because we didn't care anything about Joseph. We killed Joseph. We sold Joseph. We hated our altogether lovely brother. We hated him. Isn't that what Peter preached at Pentecost? Yeah? You with wicked hands have taken and crucified the Lord of glory, but you did what God determined before to be done. Now he said, let all the house of what? Who? Israel. Understand. Let all the house of Israel know and understand, Peter preached, that God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, Lord and Christ. End of sermon. He didn't ask those sorry sons of Jacob would they accept him. They're all wondering. You know what they're all wondering? When this is over, what they're all wondering, is he going to accept us? What's he going to do with us? In the last chapter, chapter 50, Jacob died, and all the sons of Jacob thought, Joseph's going to kill us now. He's going to kill us now. No. Like Manoah's wife would say to Manoah, no. He wouldn't have showed you all this. He wouldn't have told you all this. He wouldn't have brought you here in the land of Goshen to do what all he did for you, to cut you off now. They came to him, and Brother John, he's got in no wise cast him out. I'm ahead of myself. Go to chapter 45. Look at it with me. And I read this. Again, this morning, I thought I ought to just go there and just preach that chapter. Because it's so wonderful. They didn't know Joseph, but he knew them. They didn't understand Joseph, but he understood them. They hated Joseph, but he loved them. They sold Joseph, but he would never sell them. They forsook him, but he would never forsake them. And then when he finally made them guilty, when they finally found out what they'd done to their altogether lovely, beloved son, the father's favorite, to a man, they confessed their deeds. And they still didn't know who this was on the throne. And chapter 45 says Joseph could not refrain himself. Brother, isn't that like Hosea? Isn't that like Ephraim? Ephraim, you know what God said of Ephraim? You read Hosea. Just start reading the book. There's no more beautiful story at all about it. Starts out by God saying, Ephraim's joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Leave him alone. And he goes and he just like Gomer. And then in the end, it says in Hosea, God says, how can I give you up, Ephraim?
And I can't. No. Not going to do it. I'm going to have mercy on you. And when it's all over, Ephraim's, why? What was wrong? He slapped his thigh and said, oh, why did I treat my Lord like that? And all these sons, and it says Joseph could not refrain himself anymore. You know, it's very soon the Lord's not going to refrain himself. Very soon, the heavens are going to split wide open. As if God says, I got to have them now. Got to have my sons. And it's so significant. Verse 1 says, there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. No, flesh and blood is not going to reveal him to you, but the Father. And he wept out loud, and the whole house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I'm Joseph. They were so troubled at his presence. Verse 4, Joseph said unto his brethren, come near. Come near to me. They were scared. Isn't the fear of the Lord the beginning of wisdom? When you all, everyone in this room who first heard and believed the gospel, when you heard who God is and what you are, a sorry son of Jacob, that God has made Christ Lord, and you didn't know if you were belonged to him or not, but you bowed to God's sovereignty. You fear, the fear of the Lord's the beginning of wisdom. I remember believing the truth, but not knowing, I don't know if he did this for me. I remember loving what I heard, but I still didn't know, wasn't sure he did this for me. Why would he? And one day, he told me, he said, come here. Come unto me. He said, I'm your brother. I'm your brother. I'm Joseph, whom you sold, but I'm your brother. Listen to this. Hebrews 2, this is, say Hosea's the greatest. No, Hebrews is. Listen to this. It says, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Crowned with glory and honor, they finally saw Joseph alive, crowned with glory and honor. Why? He was made a little lower by the grace of God that he should taste death for every one of his sons. It became him, so becoming of him, whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both, listen, he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. Like Pharaoh said, are these your brothers? To Joseph, are these your family? The Egyptians didn't have anything for these Canaanites. But Pharaoh said to Joseph, are these your brethren? Joseph said, yes, they are my brethren. He wasn't ashamed to call them brethren. Those are my brothers. He said, bring them on here. Bring them all on in here. You see that man down there? Goshen? That's the best there is. You give them that. That's he that sanctified. They who are sanctified are all of one. Who? Christ. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Here's what he said. I'll declare thy name unto my brethren in the midst of the church when I sing praise unto thee. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, he said, behold, I and the children that thou, God, hath given me. Pharaoh received them all those brothers of Jacob, all those sons of Jacob, into his land. The Egyptians didn't have anything to do. But because of Joseph. Chapter 45, one more. Let me just show you one, a few more things. 10 more things. Look at chapter 45. It says, verse 7, here it is. God sent me before you, Joseph says to them. God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and save your lives by great deliverance. For this cause Christ came into the world. Didn't he? God sent him into the world
This is eternal life, to know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We didn't call for him. When he came, men didn't want him. And we didn't want him. We despised and rejected him. But God sent him to save the likes of us and make himself known to us and make ourselves known to us and to show us that Christ is our great deliverer. And verse 8 says, now it was not you that sent me hither, but it was God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. A father to Pharaoh? Hold on now, I'm confused. Oh, no, that's written like it's written. That son of God is the father. Yeah, yes it is. That child is born, is the son that's given. But call his name the mighty God, the everlasting Father. The Prince of Peace. Of his government there's no end. God hath made me, verse 9, it says, God, Joseph said, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. And said, come, tarry with me. He said, you're going to dwell with me in the land of Goshen. You're going to be near unto me. He said, there's yet 5 years of famine. And if I don't do this for you, you'll come to poverty. He said, you're going to dwell near me. And brothers and sisters, we live in a land of no bread, don't we? Was it Hosea wrote in the last year, or Amos 8, that there'll be a famine in the land, not of bread, but of the hearing of God's word. We live in the land of Goshen. And he's known unto us in the breaking of bread. He keeps breaking bread. We keep coming, and he keeps feeding us. He said, open your mouth wide, I'll fill it. In a time when they're passed through the earth, Isaiah, hardly bestead and hungry, God's people never hunger, never thirst. They feed on him. He said, I'm the bread from heaven. You'll never beg bread. The righteous will never be forsaken or receive begging bread. Oh no, he delights to give it to those who are hungry. And Joseph's brethren ate until the end. And then go to Genesis 50. And let's conclude. Genesis chapter 50. And don't you love how that he said, go get Jacob your father and bring with you some of the goods that I've given you, whereby he'll know it's from me. And you know, they went, when they first came in Egypt, they took sacks. Remember? They took sacks, and Joseph filled their sacks and filled their sacks and filled their sacks. And then when he finally revealed himself to them, Joseph said, now bring the wagons. Bring the wagons. Load the wagons. And take all this. Oh, we see a little bit of what all our Lord has done for us in the beginning. And boy, in the end, we ought to see how he has loaded the wagons. Oh, man. All this, like that woman said, all this and Christ too. Chapter 50. Don't you love that? But anyway, chapter 50, when the father and the son met together again, Joseph fell on his father's face and kissed him on the neck. And then in chapter 50, it says in verse 15, the brethren saw their father was dead. Joseph will hate us because of what he's going to requite. He's going to do to us what we did to him. No. You see, your salvation is because he's not like you.
That's right.
God said, I'm God and not a man. David said that. When David came into the house of God, he found out what all God had purposed to do for him, such a sorry sinner. David said, is this the matter of men? No. Man's not like that. But this is my God. My God. That's why I believe Jacob said, if you bring me back. When Jacob met the Lord, he said, if you bring me back, if you bring me through all this world
and all the sin that I sin and all the trouble that I go through and all the tribulation, if you bring me back home to Bethel in the end, you're God. You're my God. That's how I'm going to know. That's how I'm going to know. Because it's not going to be me. Now, I'm not going to keep myself. I'm going to do everything I can to destroy myself. But if you keep me and I'm kept, and when it's all over, I'm kept, and you bring me back home, you're God. It's going to take God to save me. And this is what Joseph said. Joseph said, I'll not leave you. Verse 18, his brethren fell down before his face, and they said, we're your servants. They're talking to the younger one, the younger brother. Yet they all said, we're your servants. The elder shall serve the younger. And Joseph said unto them, fear not. Fear not. Didn't our Lord keep saying that over and over and over and over? Fear not. Fear not. How many times in Isaiah? Fear not, thou worm, Jacob. Fear not. Joseph said, am I in the place of God? What Joseph is saying is, I'm not God. No, I'm not going to judge you. Well, I'm here to tell you, Jesus Christ is God. He is in the place of God. And because he is, he'll never forsake us. Because he promised. And verse 20, and I close, as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And the margin says, spoke to their hearts. And this is what I hope it's been a comfort to you. We have a kind, wonderful, gracious, loving Heavenly Father and elder brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God sent into this world to save the sons of Jacob like us, sorry though we be. And we need not fear. He keeps telling us over and over again, fear not. And so Isaiah said to me, the preacher, comfort ye, my people. Speak to their heart. Tell them their iniquity. The warfare is over. Their iniquity is pardoned. You received the Lord's hands. Double for all your iniquity. Stand with me.